Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you're listening to this at night, I pray that your night is going well too. Didn't post a sermon last week. I was still working on this sermon and praying over the sermon, and then I had a man's conference. I got another man's conference coming up Saturday. Had one last Saturday. And also preparing several sermons to do in a church, a physical church, right? This is also church too, but it's just a little bit different. Speaking in a on my phone, right, and not looking at nobody, except my computer screen and my Bible. So it's a little bit different doing this and versus in person. So working on those. So keep me in your prayers for that the Holy Spirit moves. Hearts are changed, lives are changed, right? That's what it's about. It's about reaching those with the gospel and creating disciples. But if you're following this ministry, you're very aware that we're going through spiritual warfare. The last two that we've done, we're specifically looking at 1 Timothy 1, verse 7, and that's kind of like our springboard scripture there, and we'll be in that again today or this week, for this week's sermon. And it's all part of our spiritual warfare sermon series, spiritual warfare preaching and teaching series. This is part 20, so 20 parts. It's quite a bit. It's the longest spiritual warfare series I've ever done. Pray that it is blessing your heart, equipping your mind to understand that we are in a spiritual war. There's no doubt about this, and it's intensifying. It will intensify. It's very important for us to grasp the armor of God, and that's and this whole spirit of fear and is basically faith and fear, and dealing with a shield of faith. And this spirit of fear kind of came in from that shield of faith, and just kind of the Lord just kind of moved in the direction that He wants us to look. Whoever's out there that may want to, that is needing this, and there is somebody out there that needs it. I believe it because the Lord has placed it on my heart. If you place a message that firmly on my heart on something like this, I know, because this wasn't the intention to do to go to these scriptures and to break those down. But if you're following this ministry, you already know that I believe in speaking God's truth. I believe in clinging to His word. Regardless, if one person listens to this, that's all that matters. I'd rather have one person than a million. I'd rather have one person on fire for God than a million lukewarm and a stink in God's nostril. So 1 Timothy 1:7, let's read that. Let's pray after that. For 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message that You've laid on my heart to preach, to teach on this week, God, it's so important. So important for us to recognize the times we are living in. My heart is broken. on many days. To see the condition of our churches here in America. The progressive thought patterns. The sin that's endorsed. The sin that is approved. I pour my heart out that a true revival will break loose in America. A revival that is in God's Word. That's where how we get revived. We get back to the Scripture. Thus say God. What does the Bible say? Not what my opinion is. Not what my thought is. What does God's Word say on this matter? Oh, how the church has conformed and looks just like this world. They love their sin more than they love God. If a preacher comes preaching other than what they want to hear, then they just don't invite that preacher back. If that pastor don't preach what they want to hear, he can look for another job. But this is more than a job. Preaching, teaching, walking in your way is more than a job. It's a privilege. It's a honor to humble our hearts. And to proclaim the gospel. I never want to take this lightly. I never want to be a people pleaser. A crowd pleaser. Just give me Jesus. Let His word reign true. Give me one person to preach to. And that's all I need in my lifetime. One person that is changed by the gospel. I don't need a crowd screaming and hollering anything else in the name of Jesus. I don't need a crowd hollering. Just to be hollering. Because it just feels right. And the hearts are not changed. When they leave, their heart is in the same condition as it was when they arrived. They will go their day, their week, their months, their years, not on fire. Oh, they had a one-time event, hollering and yelling, but nothing was changed. Lord, we pray a fire ignites to those listening to this. We pray that a fire ignites for them to get deeper into your word. They don't need to know my name. All they need to know is God's word is true. And I want to stay in it forever. I want to cling to it like it's my only hope. Want to cling on to it as the anchor of my soul in the storms of this life. For storms will come. They will rattle us and they will shake us. And they will make us go to our knees. But Lord, I pray we know as children that this life is only temporary. And what you have for those that love you, that truly love you. That with everything we got, heart, soul, and mind, that is knighted with the fire of the Holy Spirit to spark as far as we can to whoever that will hear. And those that reject us, reject the message, the darkness in their souls. They will reject that. They will not care for the light and they will hate us. And you tell us they hated you, Jesus, so they will hate us and you spoke truth. And they killed you because of that. You are not a crowd pleaser, not a man pleaser. An audience conformist. You never compromise, and we should not. Prepare our hearts for this message. Prepare our soul for the war. Knight us as a fire to go there, to go to wherever you have us to proclaim the gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:7, the last two sermons teaching, we looked at power and love. And power and love here, and I encourage you guys to go back and listen to those sermons and teachings, and I actually encourage you to go to all, listen to all of this, because it's very important. When somebody comes up to you and asks you what spiritual warfare is, you should be able to tell them exactly through scripture. And that's through over 20 hours of teaching and preaching. It's very clear how you could define spiritual warfare. But when we look at power and love, when you look at that first part, like 1 Timothy 1:7, you see, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear, and we went into that, is that negative, right? That negative emotion that Satan and his demons use. And that spirit of fear is counter to power, is counter to true love, and is counter to a sound mind. And that part that we're looking at this week is that sound mind. And you may ask yourself, what is sound mind? How do we define sound mind? You may have several thoughts on that. But what does Scripture tell us? 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, "For I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled," that is, deceive Eve through his subtlety, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul here is pointing out to the Corinthian church, right? And others and us today. He mentions the serpent, and we have mentioned the serpent. And he has mentioned Eve, and we have talked about Eve at the garden, right? I think when we first started this preaching teaching series, I spent maybe four parts on that, just talking over that, because it's very important to understand exactly what went down in Genesis 2 and 3. And if you want to get a full picture, read Genesis 1 through 3. It's relevant. It's historical. It's accurate. Never let nobody tell you that is not a historical account today. They will tell you that it's not historical. That's all figuratively speaking. Because if they can destroy that foundation, they can destroy the foundation of the gospel. As Paul said this, "so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." When we look at the garden, I'm not going to go too deep into this because we've already went really deep into that, what happened in the garden. But God gave Adam a command, right? Do you remember? He says, "Do not eat of that tree in the midst," that is the middle of that garden, "the tree of knowledge, good and evil. For if you eat of this," right? I'm paraphrasing. "You will surely live?" No. He said, "You will surely die." There was a commandment there that was, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you, Adam. And because Adam and Eve are one, the same would apply to Eve. And when we look at Genesis 3, and you read all the way down to Genesis 3, 1 through 6, you can see Eve was aware of the consequence of that behavior if she gave in. She's interacting with the serpent, interacting with Satan. Listen, my friend, don't give Satan ground. You give him a little crack, that's all he needs. A little crack in your foundation. Oh, how you may not think nobody's watching you when you're at home. Maybe late night, watching something on television that you should not be watching. On the internet, viewing something that you know you should not be viewing. Listening to something that you're not supposed to be listening to. You think those small little sins in your life that nobody sees? It may be that glance at that woman wearing that skimpy outfit. Nobody sees. Looking don't hurt. Same with you women. Maybe looking at a man with his shirt off, jogging, with shorts up to his butt crack. I get real here. And I'm not going to not be real. America's in trouble because the pastors are not being real with their congregants. They're not being real. They're not clinging to God's word. Instead, they're clowns in a circus entertaining the audience. But Eve was aware, and Adam was right there with her. As you read through those scriptures, you get that indication really that he was right there with her, and he could have stopped it at any time. Men, stand up, be the spiritual leaders of your home. Guide, if you have children, guide your family in God's word. Guide your wife in God's word. Do Bible studies at home. Make sure when those doors are open that you have a local church that you go to and that you're highly involved. Show your children what the priority of your life is. They know they're watching. I promise you. They see what you hold more important in your life. They know the late hours that you put or do at your work. And they know the less hours you spend in God's word and prayer. It just blows my mind how people do not want to get involved more in God's work. There's opportunities within your church, if you go to church, your local church, to do outreach. I promise you, because many people don't want to do it, and that's a problematic issue in our churches, is there is not community outreach in our community to reach those with the gospel, because nobody wants to do it. But it starts with our family first. It starts with our kids. Don't give Satan room in your life. That's what happens here with Eve and Adam. Adam allows Satan to interact with Eve, and Eve entertained Satan's deception, and she took it, she bought it hook, line, and sinker, because she believed that God was trying to hold something back. You know, we can feel like God's holding something back. I know brother and sister, you may feel like God's not working, but God is still working. He may not be working the way you want Him to be working in your life, but I promise you, He is still working. His time is not our time. Oh, we can get so impatient. We can start listening to the lies that Satan fed Eve, and Adam just went right along with it. And what happens? Devastation, chaos. That is what Satan does. He is an agent. He is chaos, and he has the demons, which are his little agents of chaos. And all they want to do is cling to your life and cause you chaos. But we don't have to. We don't have to cling to that chaos. Why? Because we are light, and within Him there is darkness. Satan is darkness, and light and darkness don't mix. When light shows up, guess what happens? Darkness will flee. It will not stay with light. If you don't believe me, turn out the lights in your home, and if you have a lighter or something, flip that lighter on, or a lamp. Cut that lamp on that dark. Just sit in the room for about 5 minutes. Let that dark soak in, and then cut that light on. Does the darkness cover the light so you can't see it? No, it flees the darkness. Our light is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that is supposed to be united within us. That fire that burns in our soul will chase out that darkness. God's word is truth. When God's word speaks that marriage is between a man and a woman, guess what? Marriage is between a man and a woman. There's churches, and it will grow where they can't even answer this question. This is not my opinion. This is God's word. When He says marriage is between a man and a woman, there is no other way but man and woman. No, not man and man. And no, not woman and woman. No, thus say God. His word is a final authority. And there is two genders. There is male and female. There is no 10, 20, whatever genders that they're coming up with, there is only two. Where are the men of God? Where are their spines to speak truth? They just don't know what's about to come down to America. Be careful. If you're thinking about going into the ministry, be prepared to speak truth. Regardless, it may cost you a lot that we think is a lot, but it is not a lot compared to eternity. When God calls us to proclaim His message, His gospel, we are proclaiming it with boldness, unashamed, regardless what they may do to us. Are you willing? If you're not willing to stand on truth, then don't step into the pulpit. If you're not willing to stand on God's word, He ain't truly calling you. I know that may offend you, but it's the truth. For us to stand in God's, to stand in the pulpit, to stand in this world, to stand as evangelists, apostles, prophets, will eventually, true pastors, true preachers, true evangelists, true prophets, true teachers of God's word, it will cost you something here in America sooner or later. And you better heed that. You better understand that. And if you're going to step into any kind of ministry, you need to prepare yourself for that. You need to prepare your family. You need to prepare your kids, your children. What if they take your children away from you? Could you still say, thank you, Jesus? If they throw you in a prison cell, can you still say thank you, Jesus? Can you still proclaim the gospel if your children were removed from you? Your freedom was taken away. Can you say, I am still going to stand on God's word regardless? You need to ask yourself those questions. Just not as preachers, but also as disciples that we are supposed to be following Jesus. We are supposed to count the costs. Yes, salvation is a free gift. For by grace we are saved, right? Not of works. Nothing that we have done. The cross. If we could do it, we would boast about it. We would brag about it. But everybody want to leave Ephesians 2:10 out, where he speaks of the works that he has set in our path. The ministry that he has for each and every one of us as disciples. There is no difference between a Christian and a disciple. The garbage of this world and these false or misguided preachers out there that want to tell you there's a difference from being a Christian and a disciple. I've preached on this quite a few times. I want to tell you, if you're a Christian, you are a disciple. If you don't want to be a disciple, you're not a Christian. For there is no separation for the two. See, Satan here, he likes to attack our minds. He likes to cause chaos to the spirit of fear. To have a spirit of fear is counter to a sound mind. You do not have to grant Satan access to your mind. If you're taking notes, write this down. You do not have to give access to Satan to your mind, as Eve allows Satan to access her mind. You can reject that access in the name of Jesus Christ. He don't have no ground. For within him, he will create chaos in your mind. And God tells us as children, we can have a sound mind. When everything is falling apart around us, we can have a sound mind. When the storms and the challenges of this life happens and everything is crumbling down, we can have a sound mind. Yes, it's painful, and you want to stick your head in a hole if you could and run as fast as you can, and sometimes you can't because you're just there and you have to deal with it. But even if your body's there, your mind don't have to be there. Why? Because your mind can be firmly placed in that rock of our salvation, that fortress that God tells us that he has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The peace and the hope and the joy of our salvation. And when these storms hit, we know where we're at. Our eyes are not on that situation. Our eyes are not on that challenge. Our eyes are on the one that is in control. Regardless of how out of control everything is, he is in control. We place our eyes on him. And when we do this, there's a peace within that storm and that challenge that surpasses all understanding. For this world does not understand the peace that we can have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say, can I get a amen? You don't have to give Satan access to your mind. What do I mean by saying this statement? It means, are you a child of God or a child of Satan? Do you cling to this world more than you cling to God? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is, the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved that is good, acceptable, and perfect in the will of God. I know that first part there in Romans 12:2 will not sit with majority of American Christians today. And I use that word loosely. When I say American Christians, I'm saying they're not even Christian. I'm using that in a very negative term. They're professing something they know nothing about, and that will make you angry. Fine. You need to get angry, because you may be that person. If you're getting angry with that statement, you're one of those. But it said, be not conformed to this world. Do not be deceived. This world is Satan's world. How do we get that? Matthew 4, right? Verse 8. And we'll read those down just to give you, you know, some scripture to the point that this is Satan's world. And this is a temptation that Jesus is experiencing. Just one of them, one of three here, specifically stated. And this was the last temptation of in this chapter break here. And verse 8 says, again, the devil take him up into a seeing high mountain. And shewed, that means he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan said, I have the kingdoms of this world. I'm showing these to you, Jesus. And all the beauty of them. And guess what, Jesus? I will give these to you. All these kingdoms and the beauty of this world. Look at it. If you will fall down and worship me. And how did Jesus respond? Like a king? All right? Verse 10 said, then said Jesus to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Putting scripture where it is, and putting Satan right where he belongs. Rejecting access from his mind. This is Satan's world. This is Satan's world. And now, if you know anything, last week was SatanCon. It was a conference for Satanists in Boston. One of the biggest Satan events ever in America. And guess what, guys? It sold out. So guess what? Next year, I believe it will be bigger. And it's coming, and I believe it's coming to different states. I don't profess to be a prophet by no means. I just use common sense, which common sense ain't very common today, because you look around and it's not. If a Satan event, a conference, sells out, meaning they're making money, don't think they will want to not make it bigger next year and to venture it out more in other parts of that state and other states. Mark my word, it's coming. Satanist religion's been growing for a while now. Even some would say that it outnumbers the Protestants, the Protestant movement. That would be like our Christian movement. I wouldn't go so far saying that, but I believe in the end it will. It's Satan's world, guys. God's creation, Satan's world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Another scripture that you can look at to show that this is Satan's world. It says, in whom the God, here is referring Satan, of this world, had blind, once again, that word, the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glory of gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Were they not believing not on Jesus Christ, right? The light of the world. Satan is darkness. Jesus Christ is light. And we see this contrast of light and darkness over and over in scriptures. But just, you know, my favorite scripture to look at this light and darkness is John 3:16-19. And that full grasp of that is John 3:16 all the way to 21. And that gives us who are we supposed to believe in. And those who don't believe not, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. But here's the thing, we don't stop there. This is a problematic issue, the John 3:16 gospel. They want to stop it right there, but we need to keep reading on, guys. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And here it says, he that believe on him is not condemned already, but because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believe on him is not condemned. He that believe on him is not condemned. He that believe on him is not condemned already. And I think I actually wrote that wrong. He that believe on him is not condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So, it's those that don't believe. And when you look at 2 Corinthians 4:4 here, it says, in whom the God of the world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. They have not believed not in what? In Jesus Christ. And because they have not believed, they are condemned. But those that believe are away from this condemnation, right? Because they believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And verse 19 said, this is the condemnation. So we don't have to figure out what condemnation here is. It is light. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men here in verse 19 means humanity. Humanity loves darkness. We have a tendency to migrate to darkness than the light. As the hooks of darkness that Satan uses, and we allow Satan to penetrate our soul and carry us into this darkness. But the light of God, light of the cross, the Holy Spirit in us can break those hooks. But here's the thing, sin. Sin is not supposed to be our lifestyle. God calls us away from our sin, right, to walk in the light. Galatians 5. I quote this scripture a lot. And if you guys follow this ministry, you know where I'm going with this. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. So this I say, then walk in the walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the ones to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is sin. Which are these? And Paul is getting specific here. Oh, preachers, how we need to get specific and call it for what it is. He speaks of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is saying, I've said this once, I said this twice, and I'm getting saying it until I'm blue in my face. You're practicing these and you're okay with this sin. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. He has called us away from that lifestyle. And if you are a child of God, you do not want to live in that lifestyle. Oh, how the sex in our church is out of control, right? It's been out of control. You got pastors sleeping around with their church members and marrying them. And the church is okay with that. And they keep these men in the pulpit. I'm not going to name names, but man, it's so tempting. Well, why not? I'm going to do it anyway. John Hagee. Popular. Oh, I might offend quite a few of y'all right now on that one. Read his background. See what he did to his ex-wife. Oh, you're okay with him getting back in the pulpit? Then you have problems. Examine your heart. Greg Locke, big movie out about delivering demons. I'm going to say, you can't even deliver yourself by having sex with somebody in your church and marrying that person. You're not fit to step in the pulpit. Step down. It's just God's grace and mercy. He hasn't struck you down. Just look at people in our church are having sex, not married, and we're okay with that. They're having babies out of wedlock, and we're okay with that. We can't even keep our own family in line. And Jesus Christ is not okay with that. He calls fornication. He calls it adultery. It was sin back then, and it's sin now. He calls out witchcraft, right? And drunkenness. Hate. List goes on and on. Just blows my mind. And we wonder why the churches in America, they have no power. Because they have the power of sin in their life. And if this is grieving you, good. It means you're a child of God. And if this is not grieving you, then you're probably a child of darkness. And hell is your reward one day. Unless you repent and turn from your wickedness. Where our preachers are too scared to preach on homosexuality or transgender because they're afraid they may lose their job. If you're afraid to preach the truth, you need to get out of the pulpit because you're a wolf in sheep clothing. And one day God will tell you, depart from me. Because why? He does not know you. He knows your heart. And you just don't have to be in the pulpit. You can be that person out there that's going and professing to know Jesus. And you're doing all this sin and this wickedness in your life. And you're still thinking that you're going to heaven. No, for God's word says otherwise. He will not prove of your sin if your sin doesn't bring you to your knees in repentance. Then you're not his. Man, just look at witchcraft in our churches. Harry Potter and Disney. You start talking like this, they look at you, and you know that you will not be invited back to their church. Why? Because the love of their sin is more than the love of God. They love darkness than the light of God. John 3:20. Let's finish looking at John 3:3, right? And look at, let's read those last two verses, 20 and 21. It says, "For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that do truth," that means he loves the light, "he comes to the light, his deeds may be manifest," meaning they will be revealed that they are wrought in God. They are from God. He gets the credit, right? Two options. No, not a three. No, not a four. You love darkness. That is, you love that evil. You love that sin, right? Or you love the light. You love holiness. You love righteousness. You seek to walk with God with everything you got. You do not love your sin. It repulses you. It leads you to repentance. It leads you to confession. Oh, can you confess your sin to Jesus? Or you just want to get it approved? Do you want to find some preacher out there who will tell you, okay, you can go to work, you can act the way you want, you can live a life that is beyond scripture and still profess to know Jesus? Oh, I'm telling you, that message is spread out all through America, and there are preachers that are going to be shocked when they are not really shocked, but they may be, when they're looking at God one day. And he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you, work of iniquity." Preaching something other than the gospel. Let me bring you back to Romans 12:2, right? "Be not conformed to this world, being conformed to this world is loving your sin." If you're going to be conformed to this world, you will never achieve true sound of mind. It's only when we are not conformed to this world and we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, that as ye may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect, in the will of God. Meaning, when we have that sound mind, our eyes are looking toward our Father. We're looking at how good He is. We're seeking His Word, wanting to walk in that light, His perfect will. We're not perfect, He is. But we strive to walk in that perfection. Right? We do not want to conform to this world. So if you do not seek to live, if you're not seeking to live a life that is separate from this world, you do not care about God's will on your life. You don't want His will. You prefer your way. You're allowing Satan to blind you. From what God wants you to walk in your life. You want to seek God's will, right? Why? Because His will is perfect. Not ours, His. When we get this mindset, guess what? Our mind is renewed every day. Every day is a commitment to follow Jesus. You get up in the morning, or maybe you work an evening shift, maybe you work a night shift. Whenever you get up, get your mind right with God before you step out those doors. Because I promise you, our enemy, Satan and his demons, are waiting to hit you with whatever they got. Especially if you're seeking to walk in the light and seeking to reach others with the gospel. Because you're stepping on Satan's territory. The loss. And you got to get your mind right. And you get your mind right by recognizing this life is not about you. But how God can use you that day to reach those around you. And there will be those that will reject you. That's just part of it. More will reject your what God has placed on your heart to tell than that will accept it. That's just reality. But keep pressing on, right? Keep running your race. If they do not want to hear the truth, move on. But keep the light on, right? So they might want to come back and check out what's going on when they say, hey, you know, that person that I was... that was telling me about Jesus. You know, I have his number right here. Or I know how to get in contact. I am going to give him a call. I'm going to knock on his door. I'm going to go visit his church. I need to hear that message. Keep that light on. We just keep pressing on, right? We keep letting our light shine. But doing that, we have to recognize we are not part of this world. We're living in this world. I have said this multiple times. This is as close to hell as a child of God will experience. And this life is just a brief speck on eternity. If you're blessed for 100 years, and most of us won't even see that, we get to go home. See, when we think like this, we get that sound mind. We recognize our time is limited. A lot of us will, you know, may work secular jobs. I promise you, when you're unable to work for that business, that secular job, you're no longer to be able to do the tasks they think you should do, or that they're done draining you as much as they can. They get rid of you and find somebody else. God isn't like that. God places a ministry in our hearts, where it may be. No ministry is too small. In God's eyes, they're all big. If it's just witnessing to that one person on the street, if you're walking in His will, that is just as great as preaching to a million people. We want to weigh those differently. But God don't. I'd rather influence one person in my life and light a fire in their souls that God has placed in my path than preach to a million people that God's word goes in one ear out of the other. I want to be true to God's word, and how unpopular that may make me and others that preach it, so be it. I want Jesus Christ to radiate from every part of my being. I hope you're like that too. All aspects of my life. And yes, I'm flawed. I know that. I'm human. I can get over there and say things stupid, but it and God grips my heart and drags me to my knees. It's, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. For I'm human, but I'm not okay with that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit's guidance. But I strive for my light to shine so bright. I want the Holy Spirit to pour from my being, that those around me get a Holy Ghost sunburn. Oh, let them get a Holy Ghost sunburn. when it's all said and done. Do they see Jesus Christ in me? Now, a lot of them ain't gonna like seeing Jesus Christ, and they ain't gonna like it. But that's just how it is. We don't compromise who we are in Christ to make other people like us. We don't compromise the truth of the gospel in the sake of unity. We stand on God's truth and we press on. Closing this out, it was three parts of this verse, right? And the big take home here, and we looked at sound mind. We started with that faith, right? The shield of faith. And we went from faith to faith and fear, and the two types of fear, right? When you think of fear, and if you guys listen to the last several sermons and teachings here, ultimately two types of fear: the spirit of fear, which is negative, and a fear of God, which is a reverence. Now, you have to go back and you have to listen to, that's why I always say you have to listen through all of these, follow these. If you're just listening to this one, you may say, well, he didn't touch on that, and he didn't touch on this, and he didn't touch that. There's a reason it's part 20. God wants to hit on a lot of things, and that's when there's 20 parts, and we're not done. I thought at 20 this would be done, but it's not. It may lead to, 30. I don't know. That's long. Because God has a lot to say about spiritual warfare. But when you look at a spirit of fear, you gotta say, hey, our fear in the Bible. What is God referring to when he speaks of fear? Is he speaking of the spirit of fear, this negative fear? Or are you speaking of the fear, this reverence for God? So this starts getting you to think of what fear is. You hear a lot of preachers, they will not clarify what fear is. And you may say, hey, fear, one part says, fear not, and then the other part says fear God. I'm confused. I want to tell you there, you have to understand that when that is used, it is referring to that a reverence or a negative fear. So what is that's just good Bible study, right? And the spirit of fear, right? We're not, as children of God, we do not have to operate in the spirit of fear. It's counter to our faith. And in order to have that faith that Jesus speaks of, beliefs, that trust and belief, is to center our life on Jesus Christ. And when we center our life on Jesus Christ, we recognize as a child of God, we are separate from this world. And because we are separate in this world, we should never be comfortable in this world. We should be uncomfortable in this world because this is not our home. We are stuck in this world, and it's like dropping us in enemy territory. In military terms, you're driving, you got a helicopter, and the helicopter is flying by, and people are jumping out, and it's hostile territory. We are soldiers in this world. We're placed here to be a light and for Jesus Christ, right? The light that shines through us to reach this world and to firmly tell them the truth of the gospel. And it will be hostile. And it will be violent. But we still stand firm. And we recognize. See, when we recognize that we're not part of it, we're not this, we are in this world, but we're not part of this world. We're still waiting our home on the other side, a place where we will be so much joy and peace that our little minds can't grasp. But for now, we have to endure this part of hell that we have to experience right now. For those that need to hear the gospel, and when we get that, and we get that perspective, we start understanding that the Holy Spirit has given us His power. And the Holy Spirit has given us His love and His cell mine. We don't have to operate in the spirit of fear. But we have to get our minds right. Right? Quit looking at the things of this world. Don't let your job define you. Don't even let your family define you. Let God's word define you. Let His truth be known. Let that define you. Oh, how we should be men and women of God, where the truth of the gospel defines us. I want to tell you, as the culture grows, as you look that the homosexuality and the transgender movement, it will get more aggressive and aggressive and aggressive. And many churches are going to crumble to it. I promise you, it's coming one of these days. I believe here in America, you will be hard pressed one day to find men of God in the pulpit preaching the truth. You will be hard-pressed to find those professing to know Jesus standing on the simplicity of the truth of the gospel. As Paul was telling the Corinth church and us, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, said, "Whom the God, Satan, of this world, blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The simplicity of the gospel. That is to speak on sin. This three-letter word does not like to be spoken on. To start pinpointing the sin that our culture calls okay. Couples together, not married, having sex, having babies out of wedlock. Yes, we still love them, but it's against God, and it's sin, and it should be grieving. But they won't sit there and profess to know Jesus and still live in their sin, and you're going to be okay with that? Oh, you got problems. For our kids to be watching filth on television, exploiting witchcraft, such as shows as Disney and Harry Potter, which is explicitly, and then you wonder why stuff like SatanCon is growing, why the witch covens, Wicca, is growing, really? Goes back to that scripture, and a bunch of other scriptures I just didn't really go into, but believe it or not, we've hit on them in this 20-part series on a lot of scriptures pointing to this. But 2 Corinthians 4:4, right? The God of in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, right? You've been blinded. Galatians 5:16-21 tells us witchcraft, right? Just part of a list. And it goes on and on. Those that practice this, meaning there is no grief, there is no repentance. Oh, I don't care what you say, preacher. There is nothing wrong with my Disney program that I'm watching with my kid that's glorifying witchcraft. Oh, there's no problem with Harry Potter that has satanic cults, symbols all through it. I don't care what you say. Go ahead, keep practicing that and see what happens. Keep watching stuff as satanic like Satan Con grow, and it's supposed to be scratching your head. Oh, how Satan has blinded your minds. Oh, how the simplicity of the gospel just went across. He can't even get it. Oh, how he has, as Eve, right? Was deceived. So are you. But you don't have to. So I'm telling you, heed what this man of God is trying to tell you. That I'm trying to pour my heart out to you. And I know many will reject it. But I am not here for the many. I'm only here for the few. I wish many would accept this message. And I wish many would acknowledge this. And because if they would, we would not be in the cesspool of sinfulness and evil darkness of America that's growing day by day. And it ain't stop yet. It's going to get so bad that most preachers can't grasp what's coming down to the pipe of America and what's coming to their churches, and what is probably already in their church, and they're already endorsing it by not preaching on it, because maybe they are endorsing it too. Maybe their life is more surrounded by darkness than light. Until you come out of that darkness, come out of it, says the Lord, for he said he is light, right? For him there is no darkness. Come out. We're in a spiritual war, guys. And it will just keep on. It's going to keep on intensifying. And I pray that you realize this. And I pray that you realize you do not have to be given into the spirit of fear. But if you want all these, you want your sinful lifestyle too. You will never receive his power if you keep endorsing your sin. You will not receive his love. His love's there, right? But if you want to try to keep living your sin and say, oh, Jesus loves me regardless, that's a lie. You will not receive his love, and you will not receive his cell mine. You have to recognize you can't conform to this world. If you're conforming to this world, your mind is not being renewed. And conforming to this world, I don't even get it, be honest with you, how those that try to live two different lives, I'm beside myself on that. You can't serve two masters, right? You will hate the one, love the other. You serve God or Satan. You're a part of light or darkness. And I pray that you're a part of light. And I pray that you have truly came to Christ and walking in that light and walking in his power and his love and his cell mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this out, I know these messages are intense. Yeah, I know many people are not going to receive it. I know a message like this one day will get me in trouble. But I'd rather be in trouble for you than in trouble from the world. God, I pray that through this message, those that listen to this all the way through, I know the ones that listen to this all the way through already know where they're at. They're in the light. They're striving to walk in your spirit. They are yours. They want to do your will. If they're not, this is the first time they're hearing a message like this. Maybe somebody just came on and just somehow came across this website and listened to this first message. Their mouth probably dropped a little bit. But Lord, we pray over them right now. God, we pray that the scriptures that you have provided through this sermon, they just write them down. They can ignore everything else because your word is the final authority. They can go through these whole 20-part series, and I know there's probably over 100 scriptures that we've went over. Write them down. Have them write them down and study the scripture, and they will come to the truth. Because your word does not go void. God, I pray as we just close this out, that you be with us as we go through the rest of our day. Or maybe we're headed to bed. Or maybe we're at work. Or on a jog. Wherever it may be, Lord. God, I pray their eyes are firmly placed on you every day. We wake up with that commitment to press on. To the very end. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, this website, there is at the homepage, there is an email, so you can email me through that way. If I'm on Facebook, I'm regulated on Facebook a lot of times, so if you do send me a message, just send me through Messenger. And if you do, just reference this website out. Also, same thing, if you give an email, make sure on the subject title you put the website's name. And I'm thinking about changing that website name to a different name. This is something God placed on my heart to change that title up a little bit. And change some of the format of the website, which I've been going to do, but time, you know, if you guys know, I work 40 hours a week, so regular job, so yeah, and you know, working on sermons, praying over sermons, and then doing Bible studies, and then and sometimes I get invited to a church to preach, so if I'm doing that, then it's kind of combination, so it's, and every sermon, you know, I don't take lightly. I pray over hard. I seek his, what direction he wants the sermon to go. Because that's ultimately his, you know, of course I study and I type up stuff. But and ultimately he gives direction. I'm not on Twitter much or Instagram, but I do have accounts on those, so you can reach out to me. I think I check those once a month. I'm not too big on that. But Facebook, I'm on Facebook a lot, so you can definitely send me a a request through Facebook, please reference this website out, because I just don't put people, add people on my Facebook account, because it's just, that ain't really wise to do that. And of course, this website. So, love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.